To Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Now we have machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that really appears over and over again throughout Masechet Shabbos, and that's about what's called a malacha sheinatzricha legufa. And what that means is that the Mishkan tells us exactly why they did the malacha, what its purpose was. He's not interested in that purpose, and Rabbi Shimon is going to say that's not called a malacha. It's not a malacha. Machsheves, but Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree. So Rabbi Shimon holds that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Pater Avol Asur, and Rabbi Shimon holds he's Chayev. So now the Gemara is Medayek, who is the author of our Mishnah? Midiktoni Sefer Chayev, in the case where, let's say, he extinguishes the light in order to save the oil, it says in the Mishnah, Yischai Shmamino Rabbi Yehuda, that the author of Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, because we're talking about a Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa, he's not interested in the purpose for which the Malacha was done. In the Mishnah, it wasn't done for the purpose of salvaging the oil, but it was rather done to create Pecham, as we'll discuss later. So his intention was not for the defined purpose of the malacha as derived from the Mishkan, and yet the Mishnah says Yechayev. Apparently this Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that Malach Shen Tzricha Legufa is Chayev against Rabbi Shimon. But yet the Gemara says Reisha B'mayaskina. What's the case in the Reisha? And the Reisha says that he is potur. If we're talking about it, someone who is ill and for the sake of saving his life we have to put out the candle, the light is bothering his eyes, he's got high fever, is mutter mi boile. The Mishnah should have said that you're allowed to do this, you're even obligated to do this. Why does it say potur? If we're dealing with a chole who's not in a jeopardy of a life-threatening situation, then chayev chatos mi boile. Then the Tana should have said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, at least, who holds malach shen tzricha legufa, so it doesn't matter what his purpose is, but he's doing an act of kibui, and he's chayev for violating malachas kibui, should be chayev chatos. And the language of the Mishnah in the Reisha is that he's potter, which implies that he's potter even from a chatos. And that would seem to imply that where the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon, Liolam b'chol sheyesh lo sakana, our Mishnah is reflective of the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. And in the case of chol sheyesh bo sakana, the reason why he's not chayev is because of pikuach nefesh v'chayvayim. U'bedinu delisnei mutter. The Mishnah should have really used the word mutter. Mi'aydi deboi lemisnei seifa chayev. Since in the seifa, Kechas ha'aner, etc., is chayev, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Tananami Reisha Potter. So he wanted to make a kind of symmetry between the Reisha and the Sefer. So he used the word Potter as a flip side of chayev in the Sefer. Now the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to be very similar to that Mishnah, but yet, in one sense, you cannot reconcile this Braisa with the Mishnah. In fact, the Gemara Vatani Rabbi Oshia, what are we going to do with the Braisa that was taught by Rabbi Oshia? That says, Im bishvil achola sheyishan, if he puts out the candle so that the sick person can go to sleep, lo yechaba, he's not allowed to do it l'chatchila, but im kiba, if he puts it out, potur, which means potur avol asur. So he doesn't violate a chiyuv chatos. And the question is, if this reflects the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and let's assume we're talking about a chola she'ein bos, if it's a chola she'esh bos sakana, then potter is a very strange term. But if it's a chola she'ein bos sakana, then lechora, according to Rabbi Yehuda, should be chayev. And yet the Braisa says he's part of the Braisa of Rav Oshia. And the Gemara answers, Hahu, Hahi, this Braisa is B'chol Hashem B'Sakon Rav Shimon. You're going to have to attribute this Braisa to Rav Shimon. And even though it's a Chol Hashem B'Sakon, he's still part of it because it's a Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. He's not doing it for the the tzorech of the Mishkan, the tzorech of the Malacha in the Mishkan. Now, Shaul she'ela zu li'ela me Rabbi Tanchum demin neveh. The following question was put forth in the presence of Rabbi Tanchum of Neveh, of Nevi. Ma'u lechabos butzina denura mekami de mekami beisha b'shabsa. Are you allowed to extinguish a lit candle for the benefit of someone who is seriously ill on Shabbos? The word Be'isha means that he is seriously ill. And are we talking about a case of Pikuach Nefesh, or are we not talking about a case of Pikuach Nefesh? What was the exact nature of the question? Mutul Chabos Bener Ner Dolek Lifnei Chola Sheyeshbo Sakana. So we're talking apparently about a Chola Sheyeshbo Sakana. And you see the word, you see the word, just 1 second, Ra'a. Just 1 second, I have the wrong note over here. Just 1 second. Not sure what happened over here. Anyway, he calls it Be'isha. Now, Be'isha apparently is another Aramaic formulation of Bishta. Bishta is Ra'a. So we're talking about a Chole Be'ishta. He's Chole Mesukan. And he's inclined, Nebuch, towards dying. So we're allowed to put out the Ner in front of such a Chole so that he can fall asleep. So why do they have to ask this question, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tanchum? What's the din in this particular case? The Mishnah later on, Adaf Chav Tesam and Beis, says that the Mishnah above on Chav Tesam and Beis says that Machabe Saner Mipnei Achol Sheishan Potur. And the Gemara says that you're allowed to do this L'chatchila in case of Achol Sheish Po Sakana. So perhaps we could suggest that the question that's being asked here is about a scenario in which it's possible to remove the ner in front of the chola as it's lit. And what are the two choices here? Which is the better of the two? Is it better to violate an isa shvus of tiltul mukta, or is it better to put the ner out, which is a malacha doraisa? Perhaps the reason why we would weigh in favor of putting out the ner and not moving it is so that the chola should not suffer even for that second until they take out the ner. And Rabbi Tanchum is going to answer this question by telling us it's better to put out the ner, and that's called mutav sheichabe nero shel basar v'dam velo techabe haneshama she nero shel hakadosh baruch. Again, all this we'll see on daf lamed Amid Beis, but the bottom line is that Rabbi Tanchum's response was that it's better, preferable to put out the ner so that the chola shouldn't suffer even for one short moment. Now, there's a discussion in some of the sources, apparently, surprisingly, in the Ein Yaakov, according to this footnote that I have, that there's machlokas rishon about this din, about whether you're allowed to be mechaber the ner when it's possible to move the ner to another place and just violate a shvus. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos maintains that if it's possible to move the ner to another place, you're not allowed to put it out. And believe it or not, this shita of the Rambam is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Ayin Ches. The Ritva, on all the hand, says, Yesh lizdareis, without hesitation, lechavos es haner, velo letaltalo lemokam acher. Don't foot drag and take it to another place. So we're up to now, Pasach Rabbi Tanchum v'Omar. So Rabbi Tarfon opened up his, shall we say, his presentation
by addressing himself to King Solomon, to Melech Shlomo. Ant Shlomo Amelech, you are Shlomo Melech. On Chachmascha, where is your wisdom? Lehechan holcha chachmascha, lehechan holcha tfunasecha, your insight. Lo dayecha shedvarecha sosrim divrei David avicha, it's bad enough that you contradict the teachings of your father David. Ella, but moreover, shedvarecha sosrim zed zed, that you contradict yourself. Shedavid avicha omar, he declared in Tilim kuftes vav, lo amesim yaluya. It means the mesim don't have the chshivas of the live people. They cannot sing the praises of God. Viata, and you contradict David's claim. Shamarta, you say in Kohelis Perek Dalet, Shabeach ani es ha-mesim shekvar mesu min ha-chayim asher heim ha-chayim adena. So according to you, the mesim are more choshen than the chayim. And furthermore, v'yochazarta v'yamarta, you contradict yourself, because in Perek Tes you write, ki lechelev chay hu tov min haryeh ha-mes, which is a mashal about human beings, that a person who's alive is pachos, he's compared here to a kelev, and he's less than an adam that's mess, like the aryeh, who is superior to him. So on the one hand, you tell me that shabeach ani asam mesim shekvar mesu, and then you tell me a kelev chai, and you're telling me that an Adam Chai, just 1 second, where's the theory? I thought I had it. Hu Tov, Kelev Chai Hu Tov, meaning a human being who's alive, even if he's pachus, even if he's from the lower echelons of society, nevertheless he's greater, he's better than an Adam Mes. So you're contradicting yourself. And now Rabbi Tavkut is going to try to reconcile the words of Shlomo HaMelech. Lo kasha, hadaka amar, that which David HaMelech says, lo amesim yaluya, hachi kamar. This is what his intention was. The olam yasakodim b'torv mitzvahs shekodim sheyomus, shekevon shemes batom min ha-torv min ha-mitzvahs, v'ein la-kodesh baruch hu shvach bo. So a person should always dedicate himself during his lifetime to the fulfillment of mitzvahs, the study of Torah, all this before he dies, because once he dies, he's forever idled from the study of Torah and the practice of mitzvahs, and from that point on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu derives no honor from him. That's the message of David HaMelech. V'hainu d'yomar Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsiv ha-mesim chofshi, kevin shemes odom nasa chofshi min ha-Torah min ha-mitzvahs. And that's what the intention of David HaMelech was, that a person has to chaparayin, and he has to dedicate himself to Torah mitzvahs in this life before he dies, because once he's died, he's chofshi min ha-mitzvahs. He becomes free of the mitzvah. He can no longer perform Torah or mitzvahs. And now, Rabbi Tarfon is going to continue and to show that Shlomo HaMelech did not contradict himself from one chapter of Koheles to another. Udekamar Shlomo, Shlomo said, Shabeach ani asam mesim shekvar mesu. What he has in mind is that we should be mishabeach the tzaddikim who dedicated their lives to Torah mitzvahs and then they died. They are even greater than the tzaddikim who are alive. And that's based on a principle called Gedolim tzaddikim v'misasam yoser mi bechayehem. The tzaddikim themselves are greater after their death than they are during their lifetime. And that's based on a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. Now, why would a tzaddik be greater in his death? Perhaps we could suggest the following, that after a tzaddik dies, then his life becomes a dugma. He leaves a legacy to dedicate one's life to Torah mitzvahs, and that impact that he has after his death is even greater than the one who performs these meritorious acts while he's alive. So in that sense, what you could say is that the stature of a righteous person becomes enhanced after his death. Right? We call it Achrimos Kedoshim. And the dead who've already died, I mean, are praiseworthy and more praiseworthy than the living. And that's what it says here in Shlomo when he says, Shabech Anias HaMesim Shekvar Mesu. And the analogy is, Kishechatu Yisrael Bamidbar, in the sin of the Chet HaEgel, Omad Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omar, and Moshe put forth Kama Tefilos Saknudim Lefanav, many prayers and supplications in front of God so that God would grant them atonement and Mechila for the Chet HaEgel, Velo Nana, and yet God didn't respond in the schus of Moshe's Tefilos, even though Moshe was a great tzaddik. Uksha Omar, but when Moshe finally said, after the Shechet HaEgel, he said, God, Zecholi Avraham Li Yitzchok Li Yisrael Avadecha Shenishbat Alehem Bach, etc., etc., Miad Nane. So in the Shechus of the Avos, who were already deceased, Hashem hearkened to the prayers of Moshe and granted Mechila to Klal Yisrael Shechet HaEgel. And Rabbi Tarfon Tanchum ends this up by saying, Vilo Yofa Omar Shlomo, Shabech Anias HaMesim, Shekvar Mesu. So in that sense, there's a certain great tzchus for the Mesim that supersedes that of the Chayim. But certainly, there's a superior element of being alive when you're still able to do mitzvahs, as opposed to a dead person who cannot perform mitzvahs. Now, Rabbi Tanchum adds another point. He says, Dover Acher, another twist on the intention of Shlomo Melech when he praises the dead, is Min Hogu Shalolo Melech Basim Adam Gozer Gzera Sofik Mekaimim Osa Sofik Ein Mekaimim. So we never know if the human king and his decrees will actually be fulfilled by the people who live in the state. Even if I grant you that the people will actually fulfill the decree, so they'll only do so as long as the king is alive, but not after his death. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted various enactments to keep us far away from Avera. He also instituted various takonos, like for example, Gemara says in Megillah that Moshe Rabbeinu made a takon of Sholem v'Dorshim b'Nyanu Shel Yom Hilchas Pesach v'Pesach Hilchas Atzeres v'Atzeres Hilchas Chag v'Chag, and Kayom Esem Liolam Liome Olam. We are still fulfilling these takonos, these veros, even to our day, many years after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Shlomo now praises the dead, the original Rishonim, who are greater than those who are alive now, because the Rishonim are greater in the sense, as we illustrated from Moshe Rabbeinu, that his gzeros are miskaimos liolam, the gzeros of present contemporary kings who are alive today are not miskaimos. Dover Acher. Now Rabbi Tanchum offers a third interpretation of Shabeach Anias HaMesim, Kid Rabbi Yehuda Marav. And this is the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, the Tefillah of David HaMelti, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Mai Dechsiv. What is the meaning of the Tefillah of David in Tehillim Pei Vav? Asei imi os letova v'yiru sonai v'yevoshu. So let's translate this pasuk into English. He says that display for me a sign for good so that my enemies may see it and be ashamed. Okay? My enemies may see this sign and be ashamed. He says here in the name of Rashi that David HaMelech Bikesh Ma'akadosh Baruch Hu Shiyaslo Simon Sheinikar Bo Lacherim Shemachalo Al Avon Bat Sheva V'yiru Sonov Shel David Es HaSimon V'Yivoshu. And the enemies will be ashamed when they see that that David achieved total mechila on his sin with Bathsheba. Omar David say Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Mecholi Al Oso Avon Shel Bathsheba. Omar Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Machul Lecha. Omar Lo David says Asei Imi Os, make some sort of a display, a sign, a simon, that you have indeed granted me mechila b'chayai, so that everyone will see that you granted me mechila, and that clearly you no longer have a claim to mete out punishment for my sin. B'chayecha Eini modia b'chai Shlomo banecha. Amalo, God responds to David's supplication, and instead of giving him an os b'chaya, he says b'chayecha eini modia, and I won't publicly indicate that I've forgiven you for your sin, but b'chai Shlomo bincha ani modia, I shall make it known during the lifetime of your son Shlomo Melch that I was mochel you. And that's exactly what happened. Kishabana Shlomo as base Hamigdash Bikesh Lahachnis Aaron Lebase Kodshak Adosh Vidovkushi Arim Zebazet. So that the gates of the Holy of Holies clung to each other miraculously and could not be opened. And now it's impossible for Shlomo Melech to bring the Aaron into the Kodesh Kadoshim. Omar Shlomo Esrim the Arba Runanos. Shlomo broke out in 24 songs of prayer. And he says here, Kimefurosh b'tfila Shlomo, you'll see this in the 8th chapter of Melachim Aleph, Sha'omar esrim v'arba pa'omim loshen rina tfila utchina. That's how Rashi interprets this. And others say that if you bring a long list of psukim, and Lashonos Eluk Suvim Bahem, you will see the various Lashonos of Rina and Tfila in these 24 brachos, which correspond, by the way, to the 24 brachos in Masechet Tainis that we recite on a fast day. Rashi quotes such an opinion, and he questions it. And there's a whole discussion why Rashi wasn't satisfied with that interpretation. In any event, Shlomo Melech recites these 24 songs of prayer v'lo nena. So the gates remained closed. He was not successful in opening the gates. Pasach v'omar, he now opens up with a pasuk in Tehillim, which is a pasuk in the 91st chapter of Tehillim, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just double check that, sorry. No, I'm sorry, this is Perek Chavdalin Mitfilin. Su'ushi arma sheichem, raise your heads, O gates, v'nasu, and be uplifted, pischei olam, your everlasting entrances, v'yavo melech hakavod, so the King of Glory may enter. And Pischei Kodesh Kadoshim Shekedushasim Olamis, Rashi says. That's the Pischei Olam. It's the Kedush Olamis of the Kodesh Kadoshim. Rahatu Basre Lemivle. The Shiarim, these gates, were sort of like, I don't know what word to use, maybe running after Shlomo Melech in order to swallow him up. Because they thought, Shal Atzmo Omar Melech HaKavod. They thought that Shlomo Melech was referring to Melech HaKavod, referring to himself. Omar, so the Sharim speak to Shlomo, they address him and they say, Miu Melech HaKavod. Who did you have in mind when you said Yavo Melech HaKavod? Omelahu Hashem Izuz V'Gibar. Means the God of might, who's mighty and strong. They still didn't open the doors. Chazar V'Yomar. Se'ushi Armashechem, a second time. Shlomo Melech says, raise your heads, O gates, Usu'u Pischei Olam, and raise your everlasting entrances, V'yavo Melech HaKavod, and Mi'uzel Melech HaKavod, Hashem Tzvakos, who Melech HaKavod Sela, who is the King of Glory, is the Lord of Hosts, the King of Glory, Sela, and again, Lo Nena, still, the gates of the Kodesh Kadoshim were locked. Kevan Sha'omar, then Shlomo says, Hashem Elokim, it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayom, Hashem Elokim, Al Toshev Pnei Meshichecha, Zachra Lechazdei David Avdecha. Turn not away from the face of your anointed one. Remember the pieties of David, your servant, Miyad Nene. And now the gates opened up. The Osa saw at that moment in time that it became obvious that Shlomo Melech was hearkened to his praise only because of the schus of David, Nefchu Pnei Kol Sonei David, all those the enemies of David, their faces turned black, Kishule Kedera, like a, the bottom part of a pot on the fire that sometimes turns black. V'yadu kol ha'am v'kol Yisrael shemachalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu al oso avon. It was clear to the entire nation, to all of Israel, that Hashem had forgiven the sin of David HaMelech. And Rabbi Tanchum adds, v'lo yofa amar Shlomo. In a rhetorical question, did Shlomo not say very well, shabeach ani asa mesim shekvar mesu? Right, the Sharim did not open up in the schus of Shlomo, who was alive, but they opened up only in the schus of David, who had already died. Which means that the dead have a greater impact, a greater schus than the live people. And from the Gemara, it becomes clear that the Sha'arim had a life to them. Because at that moment in time, when the Ruach HaKodesh was resting upon the Beis HaMikdash, there was chiyus even for inanimate objects. And that we'll see in the Bir Agra. And just like Shlomo understood the language of the animals, the birds, and the trees, he also understood from the movements of the gates exactly what they had in mind. And when he saw the gates were making a movement, a plunge towards him to swallow him, he understood that they misunderstood him and thought that Melech HaKavod was a reference to himself. So Shlomo HaMelech, in this pasuk quoted here from Divrei Hayomim, pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaliyashiv Espanav Rekam, and David HaMelech was the Mashiach Hashem. He was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. And Shlomo asked that God accept his tefillos. He should remember the chesed of David HaMelech. And in that regard, for that chesed lo yoshiv espanov reikam. Now, who are these enemies of David that would have to turn black and depressed when they realized that Hashem had granted Mechila to Dov? So Rashi identifies these enemies as Mishpacha Shol and Shimi ben Gera. Rashi indicates that there may have been others. So the Rashash asks the following question on Rashi. Shimi ben Gera, according to Rashi, was alive at the time of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But if you read the Psukim carefully, in Tanakh, it really appears that he was killed before the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Ches says that as long as Shimei Geri was alive, Shlomo Melech did not marry the daughter of Paro. And yet we know that he married the daughter of Paro before he built the Beis HaMikdash, Ayin Melachim Aleph Perek Gimel. So certainly Shimon ben Geri had already died before the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So this Rashi is a little bit strange. And there are those who want to change the language as the text of Rashi, and it's referring to Mishpacha Shol Vishimi. And Rashi has in mind the Mishpacha of Shol, the Mishpacha of Shimi, that means the descendants of Shimi ben Gera, that they also bore a grudge and a hatred against David. Because David had given the word, the command to kill, to put Shimi ben Gera to death, and he was actually put to death because of David's command. Now here the language of Kol Ha'am and Kol Yisrael. This is the Hamon Am, Kol Yisrael, or the Sari Yisrael. Now, the Gemara continues and says, V'hainu d'chsiv, a pasuk again in Perek Ches and Melachim Aleph, after the Chanukah, the great celebration of the Beis HaMikdash, it says, Bayom HaShmini, on the eighth day, Shilach Es Ha'am, V'yavarchu Es HaMelech. So after the 8 days of the Chanukah, Beis HaMikdash had terminated, the people would take leave from the Beis HaMikdash. They were dismissed, so to speak, and they gave a blessing to the king. And then the pasuk says, "Vayelchu li'alehem." They returned to their tents, smechim, in a state of joy, v'tovei lev, glad of heart. I'll call it tova asher osa Hashem l'David avdo l'Yisrael om amo. For all the goodness that God had bestowed upon his servant David and for all of Israel, his people. And this is a pasuk, as we said before, in Melachim. And what does this mean? I'll call it tova, shemachal lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'David al oso oven shel bat sheva, l'Yisrael amo di ochile avon, de'achile v'shasiya b'yom ha-kipurim b'yeis Chanukah Sabayis. During the period of Chanukah Sabayis, they permitted the Jewish people to eat and drink as part of the celebrations, and now they're granted mechila for violating, so to speak, the v'nisem es nafsho sechem of Yom HaKippurim. And the Gemara in Moed Katan on Daf Tes brings down that on that year, Klal Yisrael did not observe Yom HaKippurim because it was during this 14-day period of holiday. They were very nervous about this. Maybe they were chayv misa for such a thing, and the Baskel came out and declared, Kulchem mizumonim l'chay olam abba. Now, it's a little bit strange that the concept of mechila should be applicable here, because Shlomo Beis Din on the Sanhedrin Paskin, that they would not fast on Yom HaKippurim because of the chayv simcha of Chanukah Beis HaMikdash that trumps Yom HaKippurim. And based on this psak, Bnei Yisrael ate, and the Baskel told them that they have schar for the achila, and they're all mizuma l'chay olam abba. That's all the Gemara Moed Katan that we mentioned. So if this achila was a mitzvah, it was certainly not a chet. Why would they need mechila? So Moshe Feinstein says the following in his Dibros Moshe: Hoil v'yom ha-kippurim nidche rak machmas mitzvah sasimcha, lachen eino nidcha mipnei achila. It's only the mitzvah itself that trumps Yom HaKippurim. The achila per se is a chet unless it was l'shem mitzvah. And every one of the Jewish nation, people of the Jewish nation were afraid maybe they didn't have in mind the complete kavana that the achila should be l'shem mitzvah for the sake of the simcha. So they felt that they needed a mechila so that their achila could be considered as a kavana gemura L'shem mitzvah. Now Rabbi Tanfron continues to answer the, reconcile the lechora, the apparent contradiction in Shmuel. Udekamar in Shlomo Mel. Udekamar Shlomo in Koheles, he says, Ki lekelev chai hu tov min aryeya meis, which sounds like even the lowest Jew who could be compared in this mashal to a kelev, is greater than the dead lion, which seems to say that Shlomo Melech is heaping praises on the live people more than the mesim, even though for sure the tzaddikim who are dead, as we said before, are more chashiv than those who are alive. But rather, Shlomo Melech's intention was for Aloch and Hilchas Shabbos v'yontif. Kid Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Dem Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Maidich Siv, what does it mean in Tehillim Lamentes? David HaMelech requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Di'eni Hashem Kitzi, Umidas Yomai Maihi, Eda Mochadol Oni. So let's translate this pasuk in the following way. He says, just one second,
let me know, O God, my end, and the measure of my days, what it is, may I know when I will cease. And the Gemara is going to explain this pasuk phrase by phrase. This pasuk is teaching us that David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal what the future held in store for him. Omar Davil Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Hodieni Hashem Kitzi, let me know, O God, my end. Omar Lo, Hashem said to him, as a reply, Gzeirahim Milfonai, She'en Modiin Kitzo Shel Basav Adam. This is my decree, that a man's end is never made known to him. Umidas Yomai Maihi, what does David sort of persist and asks another question, the measure of my days, let me know what it is. You know, tell me exactly how long I will live. And once again, Hashem responded, Gzeria Mulfanai Shein Modiim Midas Yomav Shel Adam. God decrees that the measure of man's days are not made known to a person. Edom Achadal Ani. Finally, David asks, may I know when I will cease? Let me know at least the day of the week upon which I will die. That's how Rashi interprets it. Omar Lo, Hashem now acceded to his request, B'Shabbos Tammuz, and he notified him that he would die on Shabbos. And David HaMelech presses even further, and he asks, Amus B'Echad B'Shabbos, perhaps you would allow me to die instead on Sunday, the day following that Shabbos, because David HaMelech was worried, since he cannot be Mechal Shabbos, to bury a corpse on Shabbos, one who dies on Shabbos would not be buried before Sunday. Therefore, David HaMelech requested that he die on the Shabbos and be buried immediately. Omar Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, Kfar Higia Malchus Shlomo Bincha, because that's the designated time on that Shabbos when the reign of your son Solomon will have arrived. Yen Malchus Nogas Becheverta, and the reign of one king may not encroach upon the reign of another, afilu kimelo nema, even a hair's breadth. Almost be Erev Shabbos. So David says, well, let me die on Erev Shabbos. Maybe they'll bury me on a Friday. Om Allah, Kadosh Baruch Hu responds, no. Ki tov yom bechatzerecha me'olef. A day in your courts, your meaning a capital Y, is better than 1,000. Apostle Gintilim. And what does this mean? It means Tov li yom echad shata yoshev yosek b'torah mi elef olos. Your day of learning, engaging in the study of Torah, is greater in my eyes than 1,000 ola offerings. Sha'asid Shlomo bin Chalakru l'fanei al gabi mizbeach. Therefore, I'm not going to allow you to die on an earlier date. Now, we're officially up to Daf Lamed Amid Beis, so we're going to end here, but first I want to go back to a piece of Gemara that we inadvertently skipped. The Gemara wants to find an allusion to the story about the day of Shlomo's inauguration and the festivities. Vahainu dechsiv. Let's just see where we're up to, so everybody should have the place. 10 lines up before the end of Lamed Omer Aleph. And this episode is hinted at in a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, again in Perek Ches. It says, "Bayom Hashmini Shilach Esa'om Vayavarchu Esa'melech." On that day, the eighth day, Shlomo Melech dismissed the people. They blessed the king. What's Vayelchu Lialeim? They went back to the tents. Shematzu Nishoseim Vitara. They found their wives in a state of purity. Smechim, the people were joyful. Shenenu Miziv Ashchina, because they delighted in the radiance of the divine presence. Vitove Lev, when it says they were glad of the heart, is Shenis Abru Nishoseim Shal Kalechet Viecha Vyolda Zohar. The men returned home to their wives and they had intimate relations, and each man, his wife conceived and bore a baby boy. Al Kala Tova Sher Os Hashem LeDavid Avdo. When the Pasuk says, for all the goodness that God has done for David his servant, Shemachal Lo Al Oso Avon, it means that Hashem had forgiven David for the sin of Bathsheba. Will Yisrael Amo di Ochiluhu, and God forgave them for the avon, the sin of Yom HaKippurim, the eating on Yom HaKippurim, as we discussed earlier. So the next part of this Agadah, which is on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, is how David took this revelation that God revealed to him that he would die on a Shabbos, and what he did with that piece of knowledge in order to thwart off death. That's going to be our discussion in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow on Daf Lamed Amid Beis.